So, Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, it says this. This is the inspired, the inerrant, and the infallible Word of God. It is sufficient for you. And what a gift to have to open a Bible on this time that we celebrate gift giving. It says this. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. So as we study these few verses, I just got to be honest with you. We're mainly going to focus on verse 23 tonight. I just wanted to read the rest to finish out that birth narrative. If you were with us this past Sunday, we read and exposited verses 18 through 21. And now we're covering verses 22 through 25. But tonight, I want to be honest with you. I really do want to focus on verse 23 because it's a fulfillment of prophecy that we see in the Old Testament from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 describes this child to be born, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. This is Jesus. His name will be called Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, among other names. Isaiah chapter 7 even describes this child who will be born as a sign for you. So when you read verse 23, you are reading Old Testament scriptures. And that is Matthew's way, the author of this letter, of this book, that is Matthew's way of telling you that Jesus was seen in the Old Testament, he was prophesied about, and now his birth is fulfilling that prophecy. And so we really want to focus on verse 23, but especially this phrase, the last portion, which says, "And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. So we've got three main headings that I want to just cover with you tonight, probably pretty briefly. First of all, we want to understand what God with us means. As far as the Greek goes, there it goes, it's off, okay. As far as the Greek goes, we want to understand what that means. That'll then transition us into, now that we understand what God with us means, now we can understand who Jesus is, because this is one of his names, Emmanuel, God with us. We need to understand who Jesus is. And then finally, we need to understand that this tells us something very particular, very specific about God himself. And so I just want to briefly go over those few things with you. Hopefully you'll be edified and encouraged, and you can walk away rejoicing even more grateful for the gift that God has given in his son, Jesus Christ. So first of all, what does God with us mean? Well, first of all, God, that is the one true living God. That is Yahweh. People like to say Jehovah, but this is Yahweh. This is the God of all gods. And there are no other gods besides this God. There are man-made gods, but this is the God who has been living and existing before all time. As a matter of fact, he created time. Before anything was, there was God. This is who we are describing here. So you need to understand that when it says God with us, we are describing and talking about this God, the God of all other gods. God with us. With is, just a preposition that we might just kind of look over, gloss over, and not think too much about. But this has so much significance to Christmas and to this very passage. When it says with, it means more than just being in relation to. It means being together with or sharing with. Literally, God is together with us. He is sharing with us. And that has so many implications for our life even now. Practical application for your life right now. What is he sharing with you? What is he together with you on? Well, many things, and we'll get to that. But first of all, God with us. Who is the us referring to, right? Generally, this is talking about the people that he came to at first in this time. That is the Jews, the Gentiles, the world, we would say. And we could say even now, God is with the world. But specifically, in a more salvific way, that's a big word of saying, in a more way that regards salvation, he is with his people. And this is what Matthew is getting at. He is with us. And so the us specifically is referring to the people of God. Well, who are the people of God? Those are the people who have believed in the message that God has sent. And not only in the message, but the messenger. God himself, Emmanuel. They have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in John chapter 1 about Jesus. It says in verse 9, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. That is Christ himself. He is referring to the true light, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him. Catch this, and the world did not know him. There's a difference. The world can see him, but the world does not know him. Only the people of God know him. And when it says know, it means an intimate knowledge of, a personal relationship with, a sharing with, being together with God with us. Verse 11, he came to his own, that's his own native people, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So how do you become a child of God? You must believe in his name. This is how you know you are a child of God, amongst other things. Verse 13 says, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So if you are a child of God, you have not been born only of the flesh. You have been born even more so of God. You have been born again. And this is who Jesus came to be with, specifically God's people, the people of God. So now going back to that God with us phrase, we talked about how with means together with, sharing with. Practically speaking, for God to be with us means four things. There are probably more, but here's four for you. Number one, he is with us always. And again, when I say us, I mean the people of God. He is with you always. Think about this. The very beginning of Matthew, we see here, talks about Emmanuel, God being with us. The very end of the book of Matthew, Matthew 28:20, talks about God being with us even to the end of the age. So that should tell you something there. There are bookends to that, to this very book. That should tell you that if you are a child of God, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what circumstance you are in, God is always, always, always with you. Some of you just are here tonight just to hear that. God is always with you. We not only see that in Matthew 28:20, but we also see it in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, which is the author of Hebrews is actually quoting the Old Testament. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. What a joy that is. What a gift that is this Christmas, to know that God himself in Christ, by the application of the Holy Spirit, dwelling within the child of God, will never be left, will never be forsaken. How many times have you in your life, by people whom even you love, have they left you and forsaken you? Probably, hopefully not that many, but maybe at some point that's happened to you. God says, I will never do that. I will be with you always. So this is the first way that God is with us. He's with us always. Secondly, he is with us, and this is kind of just diving into that always portion, every circumstance. He's with us in our suffering. Do you believe that? God is with you in your suffering. There are many people who believe that if I'm suffering, that means God is just away from me. He's let me go. He's just kind of stepped back and said, you know what? You're on your own. No. If you're a child of God, you are in that suffering because God has allowed that suffering to be in your life. And I would say this. One of the reasons why God allows suffering, if you're a child of God, is to draw you closer to Himself. Because here's the reality. When you suffer, when you experience pain, trials, temptations, circumstances, if you're a child of God, you are compelled to go to God in those situations. Now think about this. If you didn't have those in your life, how often would you go to God? No, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm all right. I don't need you today. I don't need you right now. Everything's great. I'm at that high moment in my life. I'm at that mountain peak. With every mountain peak, there's always a low valley, right? There's always a valley to get to the peak, and there's always a valley after the peak. And I can assure you that whether you're in a mountaintop or in a valley today, God is always with you. And you can put it to the bank. He's always with you in your suffering. Always. Think about His own dear Son, Jesus Christ. He was with Him. How much more so will He be with you if He gave His Son for you? Remember who Jesus was. Jesus was a man of sorrows. He knew what it meant to suffer. Right? Isaiah 53:3 tells us this. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He was also tempted, just like we are. And this is one way that we can know Christ. I mean, obviously we should know this, but Christ suffered even more so than us. Not only before His death on the cross, but even while He was tempted, He never sinned. That's suffering more. Because here's the reality. All of us are tempted and all of us sin. We eventually give in. Hopefully not every time. But most times, that's what's going to happen. But throughout our life, God is working in us to sanctify us so that when we are in those trials and temptations, we will look to the man of sorrows. We will be compelled to look to Him. We will be reminded that He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He not only suffered in my place, but He's with me while I suffer. And so hopefully over time, you will find yourself not sinning as much. You will find yourself saying no to sin. But if you do still sin, like I do, if you do, and you think to yourself, well, geez, I'm suffering so much because I keep failing and failing and failing and failing. Just know that Christ suffered more because He never failed. Even to the very point that we get where we say, all right, that's the tipping point, I'm giving in. He never did. How much more suffering did He experience by just doing that? This is why He's called the Rock of Ages. I mean, amongst other reasons why He's called that. But this is one reason. Because He is the rock that's seen every storm in life. And it's constantly battered the rock, but yet He remained immovable. But yet we move. He never once did. And so you can understand that He not only suffered in your stead, but He is with you while you suffer. This is what it means for God to be with us. Thirdly, for God to be with us means He is with us in our final moments of life. And here's what I'll say about that. Child of God, believer in Jesus Christ, you can know that God is with you in your final moments of life because He was not with Christ in His final moments. This is why Christ said, "Why have you forsaken me?" He experienced God's full wrath upon Himself on the cross so that you, believer, child of God, would never have to face that. What a gift. He's with you in your final moments. And I've seen this as a pastor. I mean, I'm a young pastor, so this hasn't happened often, but it's happened enough for it to stick. I've had so many deathbed calls. You know, those calls where the family is just at a point of grieving and they just need a pastor to come and tell the good news of Jesus Christ to the family member who is literally dying right in front of them on a bed. And I talk about Emmanuel to them. I say, maybe you've never known Jesus Christ to this point, but you can know him right now. And you can know that in your final moments, as you take your final breath, God is with you. And this is how. And I just tell them about Jesus. I say, if you were to die at this very moment, right now, you were to stand before God, and God said, hypothetically, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And I've had some people say, I really don't know. And so then I have an opportunity to tell them, you know what I would say? If that happened to me and I died at this very moment and I stood before God Almighty and he said to me, Luke Fawcett, why should I let you into my heaven? I would plead before him on my face and I would just say, Jesus is why. Because of Jesus, what he's done, what he did, the life that he lived, the death that he died, and how he rose from the grave. And it's amazing how many people say to me afterwards, on their deathbed, it's that simple? And in truth, it is that simple. There are there are complexities to it. You have to live a life of righteousness. I mean, you should. That's a part of it. But they have it in their mind that I have to do so many other things. But in reality, you just need to, in repentance and faith, turn to Christ. See him for who he is, and he will be with you in your final moments. Just like he was with the thief on the cross, right? We can all relate to that thief, can't we? Don't you know who this man is? This is Jesus. Remember me today when you enter into heaven. And what does Jesus say to him? Today you will be with me in paradise. During his final moments, he had and he experienced eternal life. This is what it means for God to be with us. And finally and fourthly, this is what it means for God to be with us. It means Christ has made peace with God on our behalf. I mean, this is the wonder of all wonders, the mystery of all mysteries, the height, the pinnacle, the peak. Of why we even meet, why we even talk, why I even open this Bible, is that God would save sinners and draw them to himself. But there's a few things I missed in there. A holy God would save, to make it just a little bit more compounding, sinful sinners. That is, sinners who are full of sin. The fact that a holy God would do that is remarkable, is the greatest love that has ever been displayed for all time. The greatest love the world will ever know is a God who says, I love you and I'm going to save you. And the only way that you will be saved from me is by me. Amen? And this is what has happened by God sending his son Jesus. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is God sharing with us. He is God together with us. He's not just with us like you're with me right now. He is with us in making peace with God. He is a great intercessor. He is the world's greatest, attorney. He's never lost a case. And if you are in Christ today, there is therefore now no condemnation for you. You who once had condemnation, it's now been erased. That's what forgiveness means. In Greek, it means to make a clean swipe, a clean surface. It has the idea of like a whiteboard or a chalkboard. Wiping it clean. All your debts erased. This is what Christ has done. Now, Yahweh is not against you. He's for you. Now, Yahweh is not against us. He's with us. What a mystery. What a wonder. What glory this is. So this peace with God is only possible through the life, death, and resurrection of his son Jesus. That's the only way. This is why Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This text provides two names for Jesus. Did you catch them? Number one is Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation. Yahweh saves. And the second is Emmanuel. So what do these tell us about Jesus? These names tell us, first of all, that the child conceived in Mary's womb is God. I think that went over most of your heads. He is God manifested in the flesh, as 1 Timothy 3:16 says. In him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Colossians 2:9. When you see Christ, you see God. And God sent Christ to save you from God. Do you see the miracle here? Do you see the love, the power here? God saved you from himself by himself. You know, we get angry. I get angry. I'm not going to speak for you. When somebody cuts me off. As a matter of fact, I was heading to a family function tonight. And I was driving there and the fog was pretty thick. And this guy pulled right out in front of me. And I'm cruising like 50, 55. And it really wasn't close. Like, he wasn't going to just drive real fast. Like, I had to brake very significantly. And I got pretty angry about that because I had my son in the car. And truth is, I would have been angry regardless if I had my son in the car. And that's pretty common, though, right? I mean, you would probably do the same thing. Maybe you'd make some hand motions. Maybe you'd say some inappropriate things, right? We've all been there. The old man that dwells within us still, right? We get mad about that. We say, I want justice. I want vengeance. I want the worst. And God saves those who went against him by giving us him. How amazing. What a gift. What a giver God is. These names tell us, secondly, that in Emmanuel, God has come to dwell with us. John 1 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father. These names finally tell us that Christ came to reveal and explain God because he is God. Look at what John 1:18 says about Jesus Christ. It says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, that's referring to Christ, who is in the bosom of the Father, God the Father. He, Christ, has explained him. Explained means revealed him. I mean, this is profound. So this leads us to where we will conclude tonight. So what a gift this is, right? What a gift. What a gift. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Catch that. God so loved the world. The so is in front of the love to heighten that sort of love. Like, this is the greatest love of all time type of thing. It's so loved. It's, I've loved and I will never have anyone competing with this love. God so loved the world that he gave. When you love, you sacrifice, right? He gave his only begotten son. Now, I've got one son, right? And there's nobody in the world I'd give him up for. Nobody. Nobody. But God gave up his very best. And he gave him up to a world who crucified him, flogged him, mocked him, beat him, scourged him, cursed him, spit on him, literally tore him, pierced him out of his great love to demonstrate that God is with us. I can't read now. So salvation with God is by God, it's from God, and it's to God. For from him and to him and through him, thank you, sir, are all things. So what does God sending Christ, God with us, tell us about God? Last page. First of all, this tells us about God that God is powerful. God is extremely powerful in showing us mercy by saving sinners, and also at the same time demonstrating justice and being just by crucifying Christ. Look at what Romans chapter 3 says. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. It says, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, a satisfaction in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his," that's God the Father's, "righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." For God to be just means he must do something about sin. And he has done it in his son, Jesus Christ. For God to be a justifier means he has justified all those who Christ died for. God's people. So we see God's power displayed here. And secondly, we see the love of God. And we see it in six ways. And I'm just going to go through these very fast. And there are six P's for you. P number one is propitiation. This is how we see the love of God, first of all. God sent Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, to be our propitiation, our satisfaction for our sin debt that we accrued. And it satisfied God to see all of our sin placed upon his son, Jesus. And then to have his son die for that sin. And that propitiation, secondly, has made peace with God. We see the love of God through peace. Now that we have with God, Romans 5 describes the peace with God that we have now, even the grace in which we stand because of what Christ has done on our behalf. Because Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Thirdly, we have a position in Christ. Ephesians 1:13, it describes this position when it says this. It says, "In him," that is in Christ, this new identity, this new position. "In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed." Catch this. In him. Your position has changed. You were before outside of Christ. Now you are in Christ. And there is so much blessing to be had in Christ. We see the love of God also in the power through the Spirit that now we have because of the Holy Spirit. You have been sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. This Holy Spirit gives us power to obey. Where before we were sinners who could only disobey. But now God has loved us in such a unique, specific, salvific way that he has caused us to have power. And it's his power. So that we could say, just as Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's all of grace. It's all by God's power. It's all by his goodness. It's all by his love. Fifthly, we see the love of God and his provision that he has for us. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Everything you could ever need has been provided in Christ. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about material possessions. I'm talking about spiritually. Spiritually, you have been provided for by God through Christ. And if you want to know what all those blessings are, just read all the way through Ephesians 1. They're listed there. And then finally, we see the love of God and the purity that he provides for us. Ephesians 1:4, it says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him." At the beginning of this message, we talked about how in the battle of sanctification, every day we are battling sin and we are killing sin. And there is still sin that still remains within us, right? So we still sin. We still disobey God. But over the course of your life, you will see God's love displayed in you by your life becoming more pure. This is why God says in Scripture, "Be holy as I am holy." And that's not a suggestion. That's a command. Well, how can we do that on our own? That's the point. You can't do it on your own. You can only do it by the Spirit's power, through the Word of God. And it's all by the love of God. And this is what God has done in sending his Son, Jesus Christ. God with us, Emmanuel. So I hope as you leave tonight that you understand that if you are in Christ, you are safe. You are secure. You have been loved before the foundation of the world. Before you could do good or bad, right or wrong, God saw you, he knew you, he placed his love upon you, and he has saved you over the course of your life. And he has done so by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And you can put it to the bank that if God is with you, he is for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? If you've never believed in Jesus Christ, if you've never repented of your sins and turned in faith to him, tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. Because you've heard some good news. And I'm not saying that my sermon was good. I'm saying the Bible's good. The message of the gospel's good. And you've heard it. You've heard it. And so I would say to you, the best way to make the best Christmas you've ever had in your life, to be with your loved ones, is to know Jesus Christ for who he is and to follow him all the days of your life. And you can do that tonight. The Lord says today's the day of salvation. All those who turn to him, he will not despise. He will not say, "No, you're not good enough." He'll say, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You will find rest for your souls with Christ. This is good news. So let's pray.